On this episode of Watch Time, we'll be sitting down with Adam Correo from Glass Pixel and talking about the basics of getting your website started and off the ground right after this. Welcome back to Watch Time, everyone. Today we have a special guest, Adam Correo with Glass Pixel, who is a little bit of a website design expert. Thanks for coming on today, Adam.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so today is going to be a great topic. I'm really excited. I want to talk with you about this. I feel like this is something that we often run into with clients. You know, when we're building out videos for them, oftentimes they might be going through building a new website or they're thinking about a new website. And you know, whether it's a small business owner or even a marketing professional that maybe is working on a small marketing team, having a better understanding of what goes into building a website, I think, is key. And I'm really excited to kind of dive in and talk about that.
Yeah, definitely.
But before we do that, I do want to just give our audience a little bit of backstory. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and about Glass Pixel?
Sure. So I started Glass Pixel back in 2017. We do primarily website design and development, and we focus on WordPress websites, which is one of the platforms that you can build your website on. So in addition to that, we also do some SEO and graphic design services as well.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Not without giving any names, but like, what would you say is like one of the bigger websites that you've had, like pages wise? Like, what are some pages? Like, how big of websites have you worked on? Just to kind of give some context.
Yeah, we've done everything from one page websites all the way up to, I've done one with over 200 pages. So it really ranges for what the client needs.
Lots of website design experience.
Oh yeah.
So you are definitely the person to talk to about this. And I think this is a great thing for everyone watching and listening. Like, this is a great episode. If you are thinking about jumping in and building a new website, or it's something you guys are talking about internally, this is going to be a great starting point and jumping off point for them. So kind of getting into this first, why don't we just start with the basics? What on the technical side do people need if they want to build a new website tomorrow? What are some things that they're going to need?
Yeah, so the first thing is a domain name. That's going to be the most important. It's what people search for on your or on the internet looking for you. So flexmediacle.com, that'd be your domain name. So understanding what you need there is the first step. What your customers are searching for and what your company name is, you want to have that all within that. The shorter the domain name, the better, and the easier to spell, the easier to remember, the better.
What are your thoughts on, like, I know we've kind of run into this a few times, like, if you have the option to get a .com versus like a .net or a .us or something like that.
Yeah, there are so many options now. I still recommend .com for most companies. It's just what people are searching for the most, so it's easier for people to remember. If you're a nonprofit, a .org might be good, but most of the time .com is what you want to stick with.
Okay. Yeah, I always wonder about that, because I know sometimes, like, you know, people, you'll find their website and they'll get confused. Like, they can't get the .com, so they're like, oh, well, I'll just get like the .photo, or I'll get the, you know, .site. And then, you know, people go to search it or they go to type it in and they end up somewhere else.
Right. So you definitely want to avoid that. But at the end of the day as well, the extension doesn't really matter from a technical standpoint. It's just more of memorization standpoint. So when people, like you said, search for your company, they're probably going to use a .com. So that's what you want to stick with.
Domain, get the domain. That's all locked in. And one thing I know I wanted to talk to you about was that privacy protection, because I know, like, when we've gotten ours, like, one time I didn't elect to get it, and another time I did elect to get it. So can you talk a little bit about that?
I'm sure you remember when you didn't get it, you probably got spammed with a bunch of phone calls and emails and advertisements from people trying to sell you things. Mm-hmm. So privacy protection, what it does is it basically protects your information, the person who purchased the domain. If you don't do that, people can see your name, your email, phone number, address, all of this information, and it's public. So what happens are, these companies who are trying to sell you on whatever services, they're going to have a bot crawl the internet for new domains and find the information to advertise to you. And most of the time, it's going to be spam and irrelevant services that you don't need. So with privacy protection, which some companies will offer it for a price and some for free, it basically blocks that. So the domain registrar, wherever you buy it from, they're going to have their information instead of your information public. So that way, no one will know that you're the one who purchased the domain.
Well, and I know, as a disclaimer, for us at least, the time that we didn't purchase it, I think I was getting phone calls up to probably 4 or 5 months beyond registering the domain.
Yeah, it just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah, so that's one thing to keep in mind. Like, if you are a busy business owner or marketing professional, like, you don't need people spamming you for 3 to 4 months. This is like going to take away so much time. It was a bunch of like, and then you don't know. You don't know if it's going to be a client, so you don't want to not turn it down. Like, what if it's a new client, or what if it's a client that, you know, different phone number you don't have. So pay the extra money, get the privacy protection.
Get the privacy protection.
So one thing about the domain, before we go into the rest of the technical stuff, I just want to get your take on too. I know there's a lot of places to purchase domains. Do you have like a preferred place that you like to go and purchase and search for domains?
Yeah. So I will first say, where you get your domain is not as important as your hosting. Hosting, you need to make sure that it's capable for your website, and we'll get into this, you know, for your website needs. For a domain, it's just a place for it to live. I like Ionos, and that's spelled I-O-N-O-S, and that is where you can get free privacy protection, as we mentioned, for your domain. So that's a good place to get it, and I would recommend them.
Oh, it's great. Great. So make a note, and then if we can, we'll probably throw that in the show notes so you guys can take a look on our website and can get that link so you can go and buy your domain, per Adam's recommendation, for great place to get privacy protection for free. Okay, so diving into the hosting, I know you were kind of talking about that. So why don't we just, you know, jump in there and talk about what is hosting? What do you need for that?
Yeah, so website hosting is where your website files will live at. This is a little more important than that domain registrar, like I mentioned, because you want to make sure that your server where your website's hosted has the correct technical capabilities for your website. So if you have a really big website with a lot of functionality, you know, let's say it's a 50-page e-commerce website, you're going to want strong, capable hosting that might be a little more expensive than just simple $5 a month hosting, you know, from GoDaddy. So, which is still good if you have the right website for it. With the hosting, it's really dependent on what I just mentioned, the website and its features, its capacity, but also the website platform that you're using. So as I mentioned, WordPress is what we build most of our websites on. For WordPress, you want to make sure that you have a server that can handle WordPress specific needs. And so what I recommend would be managed WordPress hosting. So it takes care of updates for you. It's more secure. It's using the right operating system, and it really helps your website perform better.
Okay. And I guess one thing to consider, with the hosting, like, I guess I never didn't think about it from the e-commerce side, but even from a video side, like, if you're going to be housing videos on your site, is that something that is like worth like trying to make sure you have enough, I guess, space to do that? Do you want to house videos on your site?
Yeah. So for videos, I wouldn't necessarily recommend housing on your website. If it's just one video or two videos, that might not be a problem. But in terms of website speed and load time, media is the number one reason usually why your website might load slower. So video is something that you want to try and host on a third-party platform like YouTube or Vimeo. But if you do need to host it on your own website, try and compress it down as much as you can. Try not to have too many videos. And like you said, make sure that the server has enough space and storage for that video.
Okay. And so really, I mean, it sounds like too, like the key, I know there's probably more to this than and I'm just trying to simplify it, but like the key functionality is like, if you have a lot of products and you have a lot of like pages and things like that, then you're probably going to want to be paying a little extra more attention to capability and space.
Correct.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, now that we have the domain, we have the hosting, talk about SSL. I mean, SSL certificates, like what is that? Is that like, why is that important?
Yeah. So SSL, which stands for Secure Socket Layer, that is what you'll need to protect your website, to more so encrypt the data that's being sent between you as the visitor and the website itself. It's very important for when you're processing credit card information, but no matter what, even if you're not, even if you're just a one-page small website, you're still going to want an SSL certificate. A big reason why is because a lot of the browsers, especially Google Chrome, if you don't have it, they'll put a screen up before you land on your website saying, hey, this website's not secure. Are you sure you want to proceed? And even finding that button just to proceed can be a little bit of a hassle. So you're going to lose a lot of website visitors if you don't have that. So getting the SSL is very important. Some hosting services, they do offer it for free. And what happens once you get it, it turns your website, when you go to your domain name, from HTTP, www dot, it goes HTTPS, which makes that secure and then makes your information encrypted.
Okay, so very important, very important thing to have if you don't want to lose visitors. And also I feel like I feel the struggle of that because I've had that pop up and I can't find the button. And then I just like, in some places, like if it's mobile, I feel like it's a little different and then you can't get in there and there's nothing more frustrating. And the next thing you know, you're going to your competitor because they actually paid for the SSL.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I know that some of the technical stuff, you know, that that we have to, you know, we have to get the domain, get the hosting, make sure we have a secure, you know, SSL, so this way everything's secure. Let's talk a little bit about the strategy, like when you're building a website, because there's more than just the technical aspects. There is a little strategy involved. So you want to talk a little bit about maybe the goal for the site and the sitemap, and we were chatting a little bit about that earlier.
Yeah. I mean, the goal for the website, that's important as you're starting to build out your website. You want to think about, number one, your visitors. What do they want to accomplish on your website? What's the number one goal? From there, think about the pages that will help them, you know, see the right information to reach that goal and have the right call to actions around the site, so it's easier for them to click around the site and find what they need. So I always say, you know, a lot of companies, they know everything about their company and they want their customers to know everything too. And so they will try and have a lot of pages on their website more than they actually need. Mm-hmm. When in reality, instead of having a 20-page website, you might just need a 4 or 5-page website with the right information on those pages. Mm-hmm. So think about not just what you know about your company, but what your customers are going to need to know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, shorten down your information as much as you can and just have those important pieces of content on your website. So keep that in mind as you're getting ready to build your website, so you can help plan the number of pages on your website, the call to actions, and what information is most important. Again, not for you, but for your customer.
And I feel like we're used to this on this podcast. Anyone who's been watching and listening for a while, you know that we talk about strategy as being one of the more important things, actually the most important thing in the video production process. I think this is no different. I think anything you're doing, marketing or sales, having a solid strategy and not just guessing or just thinking like, oh, we'll just include everything like you're saying. I know I've been to some sites where they do have that and then they try to include it all on the header. And then you have all these links and you can't figure out where to go.
Yeah, it's hard to struggle because, again, as a business owner, you know everything about your company and you know on your website where everything is, but you have to think about someone who's never heard of you. Maybe they've never heard of your industry, maybe even, and it's their first time on your website. So think about that. Put yourself in their mindset. Where are they going to go? And, you know, do you have the right information, the right pages, and the right structure on your site for them to find what they need?
And the big thing here, just remember, guys, like we've talked about this before, you know, Donald Miller with building a story brand, if you confuse, you lose. And I feel like when people land on your website, you know, they're already right. Like they're doing their research. They're like, I got to make a decision. I got to buy something. Yeah. And the last thing you want to do is confuse somebody. They go, I just don't even know where to go to buy this. Like, I'm just going to go find somebody else.
And that's what's going to happen.
So, okay. And what about a sitemap? Like, how does that play into all of this?
Yeah, so a sitemap is essentially the structure of your website.
Okay.
So think of it as like an informational tree. So you'll start with your top hierarchy, which might be your homepage, and then leading down, what are your other important pages on the site? From there, what other subpages are you going to, you know, connect and add below those parent pages? So it's just a good way, even if it comes down to being as simple as writing on a piece of paper what pages you want on your website, how it's going to look, how the structure is going to look. It helps give you a high-level overview of how you want your website to look and how the structure is going to be. Mm-hmm. Now, there's also a technical standpoint as well for a sitemap, and that is once your website's done, you want to submit that to the Google Search Console. And if you have a web developer, they would help you. If not, just Google Search Console. Mm-hmm. And what happens is you'll add your website as a property there, and you'll submit your sitemap, and that will tell Google, okay, hey, we have a new website. These are the pages. This is the content on it. And eventually it will crawl it. And then when someone, you know, Googles your company, it will now be able to pull up the right pages because you submitted your sitemap to Google.
Okay. So that's an important thing, I guess. I guess with that, is this something too, like when you start building that out and you have your sitemap, I'm assuming this is also playing into, you don't need every page for everything. You want to make that simple. Is there a benefit to having it more simplified for Google to crawl it?
From a technical standpoint, no. Mm-hmm. It's going to, no matter how big your sitemap is, it's going to crawl it.
Okay.
It being simple, it just comes down to, you know, like I said before, in terms of the visitor and the content on your website, just having the right information on there and keeping it short and sweet.
Okay, so it's kind of like I envision it as like an organization chart. Like you have like your CEO on the top, and you break out into your C-suite, and you break down into like your different. Okay, yeah. So it's very similar to that. Mm-hmm. Okay, no, that's really important. Once again, leading with strategy on this, and then on top of that, taking that strategy a step further, and how do you make sure your strategy is working? I know we were talking about some nice to haves, was like making sure you have analytics. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so analytics is great for really understanding who's coming to your website and what they're doing. I recommend Google Analytics. They're a great platform. It's free. And of course, it's Google, so they, you know, really know what they're doing in terms of how they set up the platform. So it's a good first step in having analytics on your website. You might not know what everything means right away, but you'll still know the simple things. So you can see who's coming to your site, how many people, what location they're coming from, what pages they're landing on. And, you know, it goes way more in depth, even down to the demographics on, you know, the gender, on maybe like their income level, things like that, their interests. So Google Analytics is a great in-depth analytical platform that's free, again, to use for your website and just get some more information about how people are interacting with your website, which can help you make better business decisions, but also better optimize your website for those visitors.
I think there's a lot of value there. Like when you think about this for everyone watching and listening, think about the fact that, you know, like if you have an Ohio-based business and someone has to come to your physical place of business to do business with you, and then you start looking at your analytics and you start noticing that you're getting all these hits and you're like, oh, I get all these website visitors. And then you realize that like a majority of them are coming from Florida and they can't do business with you. You might have to change some things.
Exactly. Yeah.
So very important to keep things moving forward.
Oh yeah.
So, okay. Well, this has been great. So far, I mean, you know, we talked about the technical aspect. You talked about the strategy aspect, talked about the analytics. I think, you know, anybody that's watching and listening, you can really take this and kind of get started with it. But in case they're looking for some website help, like, how do they get a hold of you? If somebody wanted to work with you, maybe reach out, get your expertise, or maybe have you build a website, where can they find you?
Yeah, so you can go to my website at glasspixelcreative.com. You can also email me as well at adam@glasspixelcreative.com. And I'll be happy to reach out and help. And even if you just want to brainstorm, you just have some questions, no pressure. I just like to help and answer any questions that I can.
Great. This is a great episode. But you're not going anywhere because we're going to be coming back with another episode after this. And we're going to be talking about some website misconceptions and things that people don't think about when they do go into building. So doing a little bit more of a deep dive. And we'll be back and be talking about that soon. So thanks for joining me on this one, Adam.
All right.
And we'll see you guys soon.
See you soon.
Thanks for listening to Watch Time. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode.
And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes.
And if you want your question answered on our podcast, go to flexmediacle.com/watchtime.